Thanks for staying tuned into CIOE 97.5 FM Mental Health. Let's talk about it. And we're talking with part of the team from the Strongest Families Institute. And I'm going to get Katie to talk about their youth group and how the peer support works.
Yeah, so about a year and a half ago now, we increased our age range for our anxiety program to 17. So in the past, it was 6 to 12. And so we increased that to include youth. And so the foundational skills are the same, but the way in which we deliver the program is different to fit the needs of youth and what they're looking for. And we have a youth advisory council as well that informs any changes and kind of modifications to the way in which the program is delivered, keeping those foundational skills the same. And so what we do now is families and youth have the choice of doing the program one-on-one with a coach or in a group-based setting. Mm. And so our youth groups is one coach and about 5 to 6 youth of the same age and similar challenges on one call together. Mm. So we really do try to match similarities so that, you know, you don't have a 12-year-old in a group with a 17-year-old with very different concerns and worries and anxiety. Mm-hmm. And so we've had some of those youth who have completed that group program be a part of our youth advisory committee and also just provide general feedback. We do satisfaction as well at the end of the program. And a lot of the comments and feedback that we're getting from youth who have taken part in these group-based delivery is that they are just feeling so empowered after learning the skills and knowing that they were not alone. That is the biggest theme that we're seeing with comments, and just testimonial. I don't feel like I'm alone in what I'm going through. Mm-hmm. It's normal to feel this way. I now have strategies to help cope and manage. And I enjoyed hearing how others my age have, you know, dealt with what they're going through and how they've overcome their own anxiety. Mm-hmm.
And there is research out there, too, that tells us that a lot of times youth won't engage in or won't seek help from face-to-face services because of the stigma that's attached. Mm-hmm. And I'm from a rural town in the South Shore of Nova Scotia, and I know what that's like.
Yeah.
And so with this group-based, it's still telephone-based. So we use a teleconferencing bridge just like we would for a meeting, mm-hmm. and the members will call in and work with your coach once a week. They will support each other through the program. Mm-hmm. And what we find is they're helping each other long after the program is over because they've, you know, shared Instagram and whatnot.
Yeah.
And experiencing similar challenges and overcoming them. And we have a good percentage of the youth coming through have very significant problems, anxiety and depression. Mm-hmm. And in the end of this, it's usually on average 4 months for the anxiety program, really. And in the end, their self-confidence has increased. They're attending school more regular. Their grades have gone up and they're completely empowered.
Yeah.
It's really quite amazing the drastic impact that we can have in a short 4 months.
Mm-hmm. What's neat with the group, too, is that you can have a youth from Nova Scotia and a youth from BC or Alberta in the same group.
And they form a bond. You know, so this is a, you know, very easy to access. There's no stigma.
No.
You know, stigma is virtually eliminated because the telephone, there's no visual cues.
Yeah.
And so youth and children and parents feel very comfortable. And they've developed very strong relationships. Part of my PhD dissertation was on this distance client experience. And it's been shown that the relationship is extremely strong between the coach and the client.
Yeah. Which it needs to be.
It needs to
have that relationship.
And so you think about, you know, removing the barrier of stigma through this distance intervention program, but we also are increasing accessibility. This is at the times convenient to the client. Mm-hmm. Our staff work until 2 o'clock in the morning, a couple of nights a week to make sure Western families can have a 9 or 10 o'clock appointment at night. If our youth is working and going to school, they can still be accommodated by having a evening or nighttime appointment so that it doesn't interfere with their usual activities. They don't have to miss school. They don't have to take time off of work.
They don't have to explain why they're missing or why they have to have that time off, which, again, decreases the stigma.
Yes.
And it allows them to continue with their lifestyle, which we know the structure is so integral to maintaining that mental health. And like you said, when we did the town hall, some of the individuals stated, you know, people were asking me where I was going. And I was like, I'm going to the mental health town hall. Well, you don't even run into that when you're just getting on your phone. Doesn't matter where you're at. Nobody knows.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And I think because of the stigma being virtually eliminated, we're seeing a rise in referrals from the LGBTQ2+ population. And again, amazing results. Yeah. It's private. It's convenient. There's no stigma. And our coaches are trained to, you know, really be sensitive to the needs of the populations that we serve.
Mm-hmm. Language specific.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, so when we see, you know, when we see a rise in referrals, and it tells us that we're helping populations that otherwise may not be reaching out and getting other services.
Mm-hmm. The word of mouth in amongst certain, you know, communities is very powerful. And they do spread the word very well if they've been wronged or if they feel supported. And so that's, you know, again, all those little signs of success is really amazing. So, you know, you're talking about the peer support too, and that individuals can, you know, spend some time in a youth group and then potentially go on to help with some peer assistance, or no?
Well, they pretty much help each other in that particular support group. That's the support from the peer perspective that we were talking about.
Okay.
And the coach is there to lead the group and make sure that, you know, the skills are covered and to make sure that, you know, the youth have been successful with their skill that week. If a youth feels comfortable sharing their story, that's great. If they've got questions outside of the group that they don't feel comfortable sharing, sometimes that happens at the beginning and they become more comfortable sharing in the group as time goes on, then the coach is available outside of those group calls as well.
Okay. Yeah, that's very important to know. Once you, you know, sign up for a group or you're in with a group, that you can still get that one-on-one.
Absolutely. We it's part of our protocol.
Yeah.
To make sure that even a mini session is done if on, you know, for some reason the client misses that group-based call. But what's interesting is sometimes, you know, when you have a small group, for our parenting program, sometimes, like I said, they're upward of 10 and 12, but we don't want people to wait. So if say 9 o'clock on a Thursday morning only has a couple of clients in that group, we move ahead with it. And sometimes with the smaller groups, they will not move ahead on the next skill. If Charlene is going on vacation, is going to miss that week, they will maintain the skills in the, you know, and not move ahead because they don't want to leave.
Oh, see, that is fantastic. Like, so again, holistic approach, working with the person's lifestyle, inclusion, no matter what's going on. That is amazing.
And if the group needs, maybe one of the skills is a very difficult skill to implement in just a week successfully. We want to set them up for success. And so if, for instance, if we're running a parenting group and all the clients have, say, 12-year-olds, and those 12-year-olds who have challenging behaviors have never been ignored because it's one of our ignore, whining, and complaining. That might take more than 1 week. So, you know, what we'll do is we'll customize it to meet their needs and say, okay, well, let's, you know, focus on that skill and another week of implementation of that so that they master it. Because we don't expect that to work immediately. We expect that, you know, kids who are not used to being ignored from whining and complaining, they might act up a little bit more to get control because they want to be in control.
Yes, I've seen that.
So again, we customize it to meet the needs of the family.
Yeah. And again, recognizing where the person is at in that moment is so essential. And So how do you really determine, is it feedback from the parent? Is it feedback from the individual that they haven't yet got to that place that you can move forward?
We have part of our program includes something that we call tryout pages, which is sort of the family or youth's homework for the week. Yes. And I say that in quotations. We are encouraging families and youth to use these skills every single day.
Yeah.
And so it's very difficult to do that if you don't have your coach every single day calling you to say, you know, hey, how did you use the skill this week? And so it's just one sheet, and it we set the family up to use this tryout page with particular behaviors or a goal that week. Mm-hmm. And so this sheet, we, you know, stick it up on your fridge somewhere. You're going to see it every day, and it reminds you, and you track how often you're using that skill. And so if we then meet again the next week and the family says, oh, you know, it was Mother's Day, and mm-hmm. we had a whole weekend celebration, and then we had family drop in unexpectedly, and the week got away from me. Yeah. Or just, I had a difficult time using this skill. Yeah. We review that tryout page with the family in detail. And if it's always a mutual thing, it's not, you know, the parent saying one thing, the coach saying, no, you have to. It's a discussion together about how that week went, how the family feels about how that week went, and a decision about moving forward.
Mm-hmm. So you're very much co-creating the steps.
Yes,
absolutely.
Yeah. And that, I mean, to me, that is essential to have any success whatsoever. You have to listen to the individual mm-hmm. who you're servicing. Mm-hmm.
On the same note, though, we also know that if the commitment is not there and it's not the right time, it won't work if the commitment, because it is a little bit of work, but it pays off in the long run because you're not spending as much time arguing or having difficulties or challenges. But it, you know, that there is a payoff to it, but it's a bit of work. And so it's got to be right timing to commit, because if those weekly sessions aren't being done, it won't work as well.
No. Yeah. And anybody who works with others in the change process understands that if they're not buying in, nothing is going to happen. Mm-hmm. That took me a long time to learn, mm-hmm. you know, that I really can't change somebody else, that they have to
the
have
readiness
that
to change.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah. It has to be there. Yeah.
And our coaches are trained to kind of know this is a very committed family who had a tough week, or this family has so much going on and we're potentially a burden right now.
Yes.
So they're trained to know, you know, what's going on there, to look at the whole picture.
And we are a revolving door because we get it. We know that real life can be challenging and it's not always, you know, easy to fit something in. So if it didn't work the first time and families, you know, dropped out prematurely, they can always come back.
Yeah. And that's a great option to have as well. You know, sometimes it just is not the right time.
Absolutely.
And to have that option to try and try again.
Yes, mm-hmm. That's right.
Is essential.
And we have some families coming in and repeating because, say, they came through for the Parenting Empowering Kids program for the behavior challenges. Maybe the child was 4, 5, 6, mm-hmm. Did really well in the program, but 9, 10, 11, the problems, are different, and they come back through a refresher.
Yeah.
Or we sometimes have foster families. I remember one family in particular had a very challenging 12-year-old, extremely challenging, and the young boy had been through the foster system over and over again and was very disrespectful, was not, his personal hygiene was not good, getting in trouble with authorities, not doing well in school. Mm-hmm. And she enlisted our help. And within 4.5, 5 months, that youth's trajectory in life was completely changed around. He was respectful to his foster mom, doing better in school, showering every day, just had a whole new lease on life. Nice. And a couple of months later, the foster mom was so empowered, took into another child, but the child's other child's problems were slightly different, even though she knew these skills like the back of her hand.
Yes.
Because the child presented with different challenges, mm-hmm. she wanted to repeat the program. So we did a refresher course and specifically focused those skills to overcome that child's problems.
Yeah.
So, you know,
that's fantastic. Hearing the positives is fantastic. Yeah. So we're going to take our last break. And when we come back, we'll finish up talking about the Strongest Families Institute.